I got tickled at one of the ladies over in Memphis. The last day, I opened the floor a little bit for questions. And she said, I don't see where Jesus asked anybody to repent of sin before he prayed for them. So why do you do that? And I said, well, I guess maybe I look at it different than you do. But I said, Jesus Christ sent a lone guy by the name of John the Baptist 6 months in advance. And I said, John had one message. What was it? Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Is that all he said? As far as we can know, Scott, that's all he ever said was repent. Repent, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. And of course, then I told her too, I said, when Jesus came on the scene, his first message, what was his first word? Repent. That was his first word, repent. I said, so, I don't know, maybe Jesus didn't go up to each one of us and say, Joseph, before I can pray for you, you got to repent of every sin. Maybe he didn't do that, but Joseph had already been to the dipping vat with John the Baptist, and he'd been out there and got dipped in the water for the remission of his sins. So he's already confessed all of his sin. So now that when Jesus walks up, he don't have to say, what is your sin? Because he don't have any. He's been forgiven, and he's been baptized for the remission of his sins. So Jesus just lays hands on him and say, be healed in Jesus' name. Or actually, all he's got to do is say, be healed. He don't even have to use the name of Jesus. You and me, I'm so used to using the name, you know. But, I mean, I know the world, they don't want us to speak in the name of Jesus. But, you know, I can't talk without using the name of Jesus. He says, and by that same mighty power, the power of God, he has given us all of his rich and wonderful promises. And the book is full of wonderful promises. I mean, it's full of them. And he has promised that you will escape the decadence all around you caused by evil desires and that you will share in his divine nature. Think about what he just said there. I mean, if you can only remember what I've taught you so far today from the Word, I mean, go back and read 2 Peter, the first 6 or 8 verses every day. Read them slow and meditate on them until they become a revelation to you. He's given you everything you need to live an awesome life. I mean, free of sickness, disease, sin, everything. I mean, just think of all these children I was talking about a while ago. When I think about, every time I looked at those little children, especially when I was over in Dallas Children's, oh my lands, there was so many little children there that my heart broke as I see these little guys with no arm right here. I said, was he in an accident? No, he was born like that. Or leg cut off right there. Or maybe no legs at all. Just sitting there in a wheelchair with both legs missing from right here. I said, what happened? He said, he was born like that. I said, why in the world are children born like that? And they never say sin. They say drugs. It was drugs. Let's go to verse 5. So make every effort to apply the benefits of these promises to your life. Make how many efforts? Make every effort to apply this to your life so that you don't have to be one of those people that is beat up. I mean, when I look at people, I see them everywhere. You know, I mean, everywhere I go, I see people in wheelchairs. I see people walking. I mean that are crippled and cerebral palsy. And we even had people bring autistic children up and all kinds of things. There is all kinds of things wrong with us. And there's one thing that causes every one of these things and all of us, and it's sin. Without sin, according to God's Word, he would take how much sickness away from us? All. So if he takes all, how much is left? None. That's the way I read it. So we must not be pleasing him. Do you see where I'm coming from? I mean, if I please God in his Word, many places he told me that he would take all sickness away from me. Is that what he said? So unless I get off into that tangent of sinning, how much sickness do I have to have? That's what the Word says. Now then, if I start getting sick, what should I do? The very first thing. I either need to repent or fall on my face and ask God, what did I do that didn't please him, right? Because if I start getting sick, there's something I did that does not please the Lord. Now then, is it pretty easy to miss it? Oh, my goodness gracious. I mean, you know, if you're not careful, you can just sin in so many ways. It's just unbelievable the ways you can sin. I mean, just like when we were going into Memphis, it would have been real easy for me to say, oh my God, what is wrong with my airplane? And then something else break, I say, oh my God, what's wrong with my airplane? See, that's not exactly using his name the way I should be using it, right? And so he said, okay, you better straighten your act up or I'm going to put this thing on the nose on the ground. Now, that's not what I wanted to hear, you know that? But I didn't do none of those stupid things. I'm praising the Lord. I mean, it's hard to praise him when everything starts breaking. But because I praised him, did I get on the ground safe? Yes, I did. Absolutely. Got on the ground safely, totally, completely. No problem at all. He says, so make every effort to apply the benefits of these promises to your life. Then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence. Do we need some of that in the church? Oh, do we ever? Do we need to be morally and ethically pure in the church? I mean, the church should be, that's the way we should be. I mean, we shouldn't be so many sinners. We shouldn't even be walking in no sin. Then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence. A life of moral excellence leads to knowing God better. In other words, the closer you walk in this moral integrity with God, the more he will reveal to you who he is. You ever stop to think about that? The purer you walk with God, the greater revelations he will give you. Now, if you're not willing to walk in obedience to his word, I can tell you, he's not going to give you a lot of revelation. You're not going to get it. He's not going to use you mightily to do great things for his kingdom unless you're willing to make yourself morally and ethically pure. A man that cheats a man on a business deal every time he sees him, you think God's going to use that man? No, he ain't going to use you, is he, Bill? If you were a guy that was trying to get through everybody so you could make millions of dollars and you profess to be a Christian and then some of those guys find out that you were dealing under the table and doing them wrong, boy, you're not going to be much of a testimony to Jesus, are you? And they're going to say, if that's what a Christian's like, I don't believe I want to go to church. And there's too many of us like that, isn't there, Bill? There's too many that's like that. You know, when they look at you, they should say, wow, look, that guy is morally and ethically pure. I would trust that man with my finances and my life. See, that's the way they should trust us, isn't it, Bill? As Christians, that's the way we should be. Now, if we are like that, then the Lord, he's going to reveal himself more and more to us so we'll be able to be used of him for his glory. Do you want to be used for God's glory? Absolutely, me too. I mean, I absolutely love it when God uses me for something. Just like that story I told you a while ago, that woman coming in there and bouncing on my table and screaming sermon scripture. I thought, wow, what have I done now? I said, ma'am, I don't know you. What, honey? A couple drove from Florida to Memphis to come to the healing school at Memphis because she had been healed, what, two times, right? Two times we had prayed for her for different things, and she had gotten healed after she repented of sin. So her and her husband drove from Florida to Memphis. That's a long ways. Y'all know that? Or wherever they were down there. But anyway, they came over, and just for a two-day teaching, it says, then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence. A life of moral excellence leads to knowing God better. And I want to know the Lord better. Next verse, 6 and 7. Knowing God leads to self-control. Wow. If knowing God leads to self-control, do we all need that? If you're in control of your flesh, then when your flesh wants to do something wrong, what are you going to do? If you're morally and ethically pure and you're walking in obedience to God's word, when the enemy comes by to tempt you, to draw you aside to do something wrong, what are you going to do? Are you going to blow up at somebody? No, you're going to be in control. I'm going to be in control. I'm not going to get upset with my husband. I'm going to love him. I'm not going to get upset with my wife. I'm going to love her. Now, does every man and woman do that all the time? Oh, no, they do not. Let me tell you, there is times when people lose it. Knowing God leads to self-control. Self-control leads to patient endurance. And patient endurance leads to godliness. Now, if there's any way that all of us should want to be known, it's that godly person. When somebody mentions your name, the first thing, oh, that's that Jesus girl. And I remember one time when after I had moved over from Cater Air to Sky Chef, I was a maintenance manager there, and they was going to use a new soap company, which we used to use over at Cater Air. So when the man was going to come install the equipment, he asked who the head engineer was there, and they said the Thurman Scrivener. And he said, oh, Thurman Scrivener. He said, that's that guy that always talks about Jesus. And he come look me up when he got there. And he said, oh, yep, you are the head engineer here, aren't you? I said, yes, sir. And he said, somebody told me you were. And I said, my boss said, do you know who he is? I said, oh, yeah, he's the guy that always talks about Jesus. I said, wow. If you always talk about Jesus, they know they can trust you with their life. And that makes a big difference, doesn't it? They know you're not going to be under the table and do dirty deals. Godliness leads to love for other Christians. Boy, do we need that, huh? Just think, in all this order we're going down through, each one of these things gives us a little power in another direction. He says there that patient endurance leads to godliness, and then godliness leads to love for other Christians. And finally, you will grow to have genuine love for everyone. You can even love Thurman, as mean as he is. I would want to use you. I guess I could use Bill. I use him for a teaching tool all the time. He doesn't mind. Do you, Bill? Yeah, because we all know he's a lovely man. Anyway, if you get to all these things, you finally get to the point where even those guys that you deal with, Bill, I'll use it like that. Some of those guys you deal with are not really lovely guys. Some of them, right? Some of them kind of hard to get along with. Yeah, but if you're walking in obedience to God's word and doing all these things, you can even love those critters, right? And then they will always remember you as the man that walked with God. They might not have walked with him, but they'll remember you that way. And that's the way we should be. And finally, you will grow to have genuine love for everyone. Not superficial, not just on the surface, but real love for people. Your heart will be there. I believe with all my heart, that's the love that God put in my heart for these children. When I see those children, it just breaks my heart. When they bring me a child that's in a wheelchair, all contorted or distorted or whatever, or legs missing, arms missing. And of course, I always pray for them. But so far, I've never seen an arm grow back. Why? I ain't there. I don't have that kind of faith. He literally says, if I'm in obedience to his word, doing everything he says, I can ask him for anything and he will do it.
You've been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled A Life of Moral Excellence, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.